was listening to the prayer, and I thought, Lord, do we really need a message this morning? I heard a message in the prayer, and I appreciate it. Appreciate it so much. It just blesses my soul whenever I see people digging, wanting more of the Lord, wanting more of Him in their life. It just blesses me. Thinking about there's advantages of getting older. I don't have the energy that I once had. Don't have the strength that I once had, the stamina. I was looking at wife and I this morning, thinking 46 years ago today, we looked a lot different. And we had different, really different things on our minds. And really going, I was going a different direction in my life. But you know, every day, even as I get older, I find it an opportunity to get something from the Lord. And sometimes maybe it's a little scary, but I find it's an opportunity to learn something about myself. There are times, many times, maybe you've experienced it too, that I've learned things about myself that I didn't want to know. But there's things the Lord wants us to know about ourselves. He wants us to see ourselves. That helps us to understand Him and His ways and purpose and workings in our lives. And it helps us to know how to draw closer to Him by stripping off those things that would hinder us in having a successful living, a successful life for the Lord. I'd like to talk for a little bit this morning about integrity. I have some things that I'd like to be able to try to explain, and I ask prayers the Lord will help us to be able to explain it. You know, He woke me up in the middle of the night last night. He was explaining it to me, so I need Him to help me to know how to explain it and get it across to you this morning. Told my wife, I said, I'm really looking forward to service. I said, the Lord had me up quite a bit through the night and was inspiring me, so I'm inspired with the Word this morning, but we need the Lord. I'd like to read two scriptures before I really get started. Let me give some definition first. We probably all know what integrity is, but I want to give you my definitions of integrity. When we look out on our world today and see the trouble that it's in and see the lives that people are living, the moral lives that people are living, let me say that again, the immoral life that people are living, we understand that there's been a change. There's been a great change. There's always been changes in this world. There's always been changes. There always will be changes. But I'm glad that God said, I'm God and I change not. There is a place that we can have consistency in this life, and that's in Christ, because He doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven, Scripture tells us. But integrity, just to put it in a few words, in definition, is soundness. Soundness, solid. A moral excellence. It has to do with our reputation or our character. Integrity has to do with you and I being ethical. In other words, being upright and above board in the way that we handle our affairs of life with mankind, with one another. It has to do with us having the courage to stand in that place that God has called His people to stand in, even in these evil times that we live in. That we do not change, but that we remain solid and remain faithful to the truth of God's Word as you and I know and understand it. Sound moral principles. Honesty. Sincerity. Integrity. Now let's read a couple of scriptures. First one's found in Job, the second chapter. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. He's pretty bold. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord, said, "I'm from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Wouldn't you like to have God testify for you that way? To be have a life that is so solid and so sound, and to live so faithful that God could testify for you as He did for Job. God had already given Job at this time. He'd already given Job a permit to do the things that the devil already did, destroying his family, taking his children, and taking his goods and animals and all those kind of things. He'd already given that. And the devil come back and he was wanting more. The devil's always wanting more and more, isn't he? He's always wanting to do, he wants to do as much damage as he can, and yet he can only do what God will permit or what God will allow. And I'm so grateful for that today. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Now right there, God chose to submit Job to the enemy and allow him to test him to the fullest. I believe that God in this day that you and I are living in is allowing the enemy to test us to the nth degree. We're going to face things and deal with things that we've never dealt with before. That's what Job did. And God gave the enemy a permit to do it. He's in your hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. He took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Are you still going to keep your integrity in the face of all of this? You and I are facing adversities, trials, tribulations, the things that we go through in life. Are we still going to keep our integrity in the midst of all this? By the grace of God, I hope and pray that we all do that. I trust that every one of us will keep our integrity. We're running a race, but we got to run it to the end. And the end's not here yet for us. We still live in a wicked and evil world. We still have Satan to face. And Lord, help us this morning to keep our integrity with God. Look at another verse with me in the 27th chapter of the same book, Job. He's speaking again. I like so much what he said. I feel like this is critical of the burden of the thoughts that the Lord has given us this morning. He said in 27 and 5, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. I hope we've all made that kind of a commitment to the Lord. That kind of consecration, that we're all that determined as Job was. My righteousness. Now here's what was important to Job. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. Do you love the Lord that much this morning? Do you love what He's done for you? Do you love the change He's made in your heart and life so much that you're determined and you can say with boldness and with courage, with integrity, my righteousness means everything to me because it came from God and I will not let it go. Regardless of what comes upon me. Even when his wife said, you're going to hold your integrity, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, it became pretty obvious to her that something was wrong with Job and God was allowing him to be completely destroyed. But Job said, we receive good, shall we not receive bad from the hands of the Lord? My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I love his testimony. That's my testimony this morning. The devil knows that. He knows that's our testimony. He knows where we live this morning. He knows what we're standing for. We're standing for truth, aren't we? And we're going to stand for it even if it costs us our lives, aren't we? We're going to stand for it. And folks, things are changing in this world. And we don't know if it may cost us our life to stand for the truth. But when I go out of this world and stand before the presence of God at the great judgment seat of God, folks, I want to have done this thing right down to the end. I want to stand for the truth. I want to keep my integrity with God. Integrity. All right, I want to say some things about integrity. It's personal reliability. Personal reliability. It doesn't depend on what anyone else does. But it's your personal reliability to yourself and to God. In other words, I give accountable. I'm willing to be accountable for my actions. What you say, you do. What you say, you do, even if there's no one looking. Even if there's no one around to judge you. Even if there's no one around to see what you're doing. What you say, that's what you do. Who you say you are, that's what you are. That's integrity. That's soundness. That builds reputation. It builds character. You and I, character is important to us this morning. That we have the character of Jesus Christ dwelling within us, working within us. Integrity does not seek its own glory. But integrity means honesty at all costs. Integrity means having the guts to tell the truth, even if you know that it's going to hurt you. In other words, it means that if you've done wrong, it means that you have the courage to tell the truth and that you don't hold a profession, that you don't hold up something before the people and try to make the people believe one thing when you're living something else. Folks, you can't do those kind of things with God and get by with it. But we will. Now this is the human nature of men. We'll try to fool people. But we can't fool God. Sometimes you can fool people. Sometimes you can't. Look what he said here in our reading in the 27th chapter, verse 8. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul. What is our hope, folks? To profess something that we don't have when the time comes and God requires our soul from us. What is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? That's what Jesus said. That's how he said it. But he got real personal here. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul. There's no hope then, is there? You see, God has the final say. God is the one that is dealing with every one of us this morning. He wants you and I to be genuine. Genuine. We are who we say we are. And that isn't just when we're in church services. But it's in our personal dealings, in our finances, in our life, in private, at home. It's how we treat our companions. It's how we treat our children. It's the love of God that we have in our heart and how we bring that out to others that they can see Christ. It's very personal. Integrity is really very personal. Now, I want to give you what I call three fundamental laws of integrity. You say, well, integrity is integrity. Well, I want to break it down a little bit with the help of the Lord this morning. True integrity. Even when someone else is compromising, I'm standing true. Even when everything is changing all around me, I'm going to be who I say I am, as Job was. Daniel, if you'll recall, was over there in bondage, a young man over there in bondage, and yet when you read about him and how he dealt with the king and the kings dealt with him, here was a man that kept his integrity with God. Here was a man that even though the other people were eating the king's meat and all those kind of things, he wanted to keep his personal relationship and trust with God. He had true integrity, folks, to the point when people got envious of him and they looked for a fault to find in him, they could find no fault in him except how he worshiped his God. Oh, Lord, help us. Folks, that's living close. That's true integrity. In the world that we live in today, has been for a long time, but there's been compromise in the home, or shall I say the marriage of the husband and wife. A great compromise. I remember back when I was a little fella, when a couple got divorced, they didn't want it out very much because it was shameful that someone was getting divorced. We've lost that a long time ago. We've lost our shamefacedness. We've lost that. In other words, we've lost true integrity. The commitment that people have made at the altar is being rethought today by husbands and wives. And the reason is what we heard in the Sunday school lesson this morning. It's because the flesh seems like can never be satisfied and is always looking around and wanting to find something better to satisfy the flesh. Integrity. Being compromised today. And when you allow your integrity, whether it's marriage or your relationship in any way with God or one another, and when you allow that to be compromised, your commitment will just fall flat. The commitment will be gone. You'll begin to see things in a different way. You'll begin to view life differently. You'll begin to view right and wrong differently. When these things begin to be compromised in your mind and in your heart. You look around, Brother Rick. Brother Rick can tell us probably. Brother John, he's done a lot of this. But the breakdown in the cracks. In people out there that build houses. people out there that the electricians come along and they run their wires any old way they want to run them, and they run the plumbing any way they'll run them just to get the job done because they know that the plaster is going to come along and put up the drywall, and all that will be hidden. I remember I was living in one of the houses that we lived in, and something all of a sudden, the outlet quit working in our bedroom. So my brother was an electrician. I called him over. He took the thing apart, and he looked at it, and he said, all they did was take the ground wire and just stick it in the hole. And he said, the ground wire came out. So, you know, I watched my brother do electrical work. He wired up my house 2 houses ago. He wired that house. And you talk about neat. You could start over here and follow a wire, and you knew exactly where that was going. I mean, he had them all just perfectly up there. He says when he takes and puts wires on a receptacle, he opens up that screw, wraps it around the screw, and tightens it down. Even though you can't see it, the one that did it had the integrity to know that when that individual that's going to use that, when it's time to use it, it's going to work. Plumbing run all different kinds of ways. Joints that are supposed to be soldered and all those kind of things are not done properly. Folks, there's a general breakdown in integrity. In the integrity of our people today. How many of you like going to taking your car in to have it repaired? Boy, I tell you, all kind of things go through my mind. I took my car in the other day, her car. She's got a Prius. Every 5,000 miles, the tires are supposed to be rotated. Every 10,000 miles, the oil is changed because it's got 2 engines and it doesn't use the gas engine all the time. But every 10,000 miles, the oil is to be changed and the tires rotated again. So I took our car over here to Minus, down the street here. And I watched the whole process. I'm sitting in the room there and the guy takes her car and he drives it in the building. And he drives it on a solid ramp. They didn't jack it up from the floor where they could get under it. He drives it up on a solid ramp and those tires are sitting on something solid. Raises it up, does the oil change. Pretty soon they come back and said, your car's ready. I said, hey, how in the world did he change the, rotate the tires with it sitting on that platform? Oh, well, the man says, well, he measured the tread. And the tread was the same on the front and the back. So, they're, you know, when the tread's the same, you're really not gaining anything. You know what I wanted? I wanted to turn around and see if there was somebody standing behind me. Because surely he didn't think I was foolish enough to believe that kind of stuff. Integrity. He wasn't being honest with me at all. And I said, okay, and I just accepted it and said, thank you. And what did it do? It cost him a customer. I will not take another vehicle over to him. I won't do that. Because he wasn't honest with me. He was making up a story and thought I would buy the story. Well, in his mind, I did buy the story, but he won't see my face again. Not in that place. Because there was no real integrity. There was not true integrity. He wasn't being honest with me. Folks, I don't know how some of these people keep a business going out there when they're not honest with the people that they're dealing with. The second one, and I want to move along because I got something I want to get off my heart this morning. The second one after true integrity is real integrity. Real integrity is what Job faced. Real integrity stays in place whether the test is adversity or prosperity. You and I don't really, if we're not careful, let me say it that way. We don't really feel a need of the Lord as much when we're prospering and everything's going the way that we want it to go. We don't feel a real need or dependency on the Lord near as much as when we're in adversity. And we're facing difficulties and we're facing hardships and trials. But real integrity stays in place no matter whether you're going through a hard time or whether you're going through the good times. You keep your integrity with God. You keep your integrity with yourself. You be honest about everything that you're doing. Do you know that we've had presidents in the past and not so far past that have, maybe they've done a good job in some places as being president. Maybe things have worked a little bit. Maybe the country has prospered. But they've done things in their own life that have come out that people have found out about, and they didn't have real integrity. What good is a leader? What good is someone that will lead you and lie to you and promote his own cause and promote his own purpose? There is a scripture, I think it's in the 78th chapter of Psalms, I feel pretty sure it is, where David said he took me from the sheepfolds, and he said he brought somehow or another, it says something about he brought me into the king's palace and the king's house, and I led them by my integrity. He led them with his integrity. What good is a spiritual leader this morning that doesn't have integrity, folks? Not going to do much good. It isn't someone I want to follow. And that leads me to the third one, and that's broken integrity. Broken integrity. I think I've got that scripture. It's Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. Where it talks about David. Broken integrity. There's been a wholesale breakdown among those in leadership, including spiritual leadership. Personally, some of us have had to deal with issues and situations where there has been broken integrity. Someone that has done things behind the scenes and has not allowed it to be made known, and all the people know what they're doing. And you know, when we do something like that, we're trying to hide something. We're trying to hide something. Broken integrity. It means that they once had integrity. They once were honest at all costs. And now, because they got lifted up in their pride, they got caught in some kind of a situation where the enemy has taken advantage of them, their integrity has been broken, and now they're trying to hide those things. Lord, help us today. There's been scandals all over the place, especially out in the religious world. Religious, or what do you call them, sectarian preachers? Oh, I mentioned this before, but I remember years ago it's been, when I had a TV, I'd sit there on a Sunday morning sometimes and watch Jimmy Swaggart. You ever heard of Jimmy Swaggart?
Sure.
Some of you have. He'd stand up there and he'd preach to these people and he'd read the Bible and he'd, big old teardrops running down his cheeks. And I mean, he was so sincere, so pious, and just telling the people, you gotta live this way and you gotta live that way. And all the times, I tell you, when he brought his hands up like this and the light shined on him, you couldn't hardly see his face because of the reflection off the diamonds that he had on his hands. The same man that they found driving up the highway and having pornography books in his car, caught with all these kind of things. Folks, I want to tell you, the devil will bring you and I down any way he can. We better keep our integrity. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Even though he's gained, when God shall take away his soul. Lord, help us today. Do you know that those that have bitterness and unforgiveness and anger in their hearts, those that are at odds against a brother or a sister, those that are hiding sin in their hearts and still sitting in the pews and making a claim that all is well, are suffering from broken integrity. They're not being genuine. And they're not being honest. I need the Lord to help me with this. Not everyone understands the principle. So what I want to talk about is welding. We all know what welding is. Welding, and I want to just keep it as simple as I can, is when I take two pieces of metal, I've done some of it, not a lot, but I've done some of it, and I take two pieces of metal, and I want to join them together. Now, what I want you to understand is, each piece of metal has its own tensile strength. It's able to hold so much weight. It's able to deal with so much stress. But when I take those two and I join them together, and I do it properly, I now make them both still have the same strength, still have the same tear strength, but yet I can make it longer or I can make it in any shape that I want to make it if I weld these two pieces of metal together. Our welders, where I worked, every once in a while, they had to be tested. Their weldings had to be tested. Because we had steam pipes in our building. Steam pipes. They're pipes that are under a lot of pressure. Pipes under a lot of stress. And when you join two pieces of pipe together and weld it, you would think that that weld would be the weakest point, wouldn't you? Would you believe that when, they say now, that when you take two pieces of metal and weld it together, that weld is the strongest point in the entire strand of metal. The weld is supposed to be the strongest point. So I want to explain what happens. What they did was that every once in a while they had to cut six inch pieces of pipe, maybe 4 inch, 6 inch in diameter, and generally it was what they called Schedule 80 pipe, which was very thick pipe. In order to be able to stand pressure, you bear with me here, and hopefully we're going to get a real spiritual understanding out of this. And when you, so they take those two, and after they cut the 2 6-inches of pipe, they take one end of each of the two pieces, and they put it on a grinder, and they bevel the end. And that way, and they clean it up, and then when they put the two pieces together, both ends have been beveled, so there's a ridge in there. Then they are to take the welding rod, and they are to fill that up all the way around until they weld those two pieces together. Then they actually take them to a place, and I've taken several of them to a place, where they take them and they examine them, they put them under stress, they x-ray them to see if there's any cracks in them, and then after they've examined all of that, they will send back a paper saying whether that welder, his name goes with it, whether that welder has passed the test that he can weld pipe under pressure. Not everyone had that ability to do that. Not everyone was required to do that. Folks, you and I today, and I'm not done with that, you and I today are required by God, by His Word, that we will be faithful under pressure, yes. That we will be strong under pressure. I'm not saying that flesh won't get in the way from time to time, and flesh probably will get in the way from time to time. That's what our work is. It's for us to get the victory over the flesh. I heard that this morning in Sunday school. All right. When the welder joins these two pieces together, and you take that rod and you put it, that stick, and you put it in the wand there, and you touch that thing, heat is generated. Heat. The heat is so intense that it begins to melt the steel that is around the heat. It begins to melt the steel from this piece of pipe to this piece of pipe. And the rod that they stick down in there, it is made of steel also. And that steel, the steel of the rod, the steel of the two pipes begin to melt and they begin to come together. And you begin working that rod back and forth like this until you get a good flow. And you begin to work that all in there together, weave it together as the heat is directed to the source. Every once in a while, they have to stop and they get out their chip hammer. It's got a point on one end. And they take that point and they begin to beat the weld off. It looks like they're beating the weld off. They're beating the sludge off of it so they can get down there and look in the weld and make sure there's no dirt in there. They want to be sure that they keep the integrity of the two pieces of metal, that when it is joined together, it will have the same integrity at that point as it does at every other point. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so every once in a while they stop and they chip it all out. And sometimes it looks like, well, I've even seen them take them over and put it on the grinder and grind it and clean that all down. Now they've got it together, but they haven't got that groove filled up yet. It's arduous work. It takes a lot of time. And if they want to pass the test and be allowed to weld a pipe that's under pressure, steam pipe and things like that, they're going to have to do it right to be certified. That's what they call it. They send these out, they call them coupons, and they send them out, and they're examined and they're checked, and then you get the paperwork back saying whether they're certified or not. Whether they're qualified. You can trust this person to go out on a job and take two pieces of pipe where high pressure is running through it. You can trust them to go out there and put those two pieces together and weld on that pipe, and it'll stand up under pressure. Folks, I want us to get a message here this morning. When you and I are working together with God, and He brings us together with His Son, Jesus Christ, and He puts the heat down in there where He is bringing us together. And folks, that I want you to consider that as the grace of God that is ministering down to the needs that you have in your soul. And it's bringing you and God together in such a place that you will have the integrity that you are going to need to face every trial and every battle and every test that you deal with in life. As He puts the heat down on you, you're going through things. Sometimes you begin to squirm and it gets a little hot and you say, Lord, I can't do it. How many people I've heard say, Lord, you promised you wouldn't let more than you were able to bear. And Lord, I can't bear it. The Lord knows what you and I can bear, folks. I've been there. And I've suffered so many different kinds of pain, folks, that were so intense. And I think, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to bear with it anymore. That's the flame getting hotter, folks. That metal is melting in there. And it's puddling up. And it's bringing you and I together with God, folks. That you and I will be strong in the day of adversity. You and I will be strong in the day of trial. But it's going to take heat to do it. It's going to take heat to do it, folks. Living a life of a Christian is not done because of willpower. It isn't done through our ability. The life of a Christian, folks, is only done with Christ in the life. That's the only way that it can be done. With Christ in the life. And I want you to never forget this for a long time. As you begin to come together more and more with God, and He begins to apply the heat to that joint and brings you, makes you a vessel unto honor to Him, to glorify Him, to serve Him, to please Him, that He will be lifted up. It's going to take some heat to come down in us. in our lives, we're going to have to face the test, just like Job did. Real integrity, folks, is when that heat comes and it looks like God has brought us down to where we don't have anything left. What do? We still trust God. We still trust God, folks. When it looks like we don't have anything left, He's taken everything we have, and that's what He wants to do. He wants to get rid of Larry. He wants to get rid of everything that I've dropped from my past and what I did out in the world and out in. He wants to purge all of that. It's going to take heat. It's going to take heat, but I'll tell you this, folks. After He applies the heat, I look at that rod going down into the center of that well, and I think about God pouring His grace down there. He told Paul His grace was sufficient, and He'll pour His grace right down through that rod as the heat is being applied. Folks, He knows what He's doing, and He's the only one that can do it right. He's the only one that is interested. He's really interested in our souls. He's interested that you and I make it. And I don't know what I'm going to face. You don't know what you're going to face. God knows the end of this thing. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end of this thing, folks. Do you want to make it? Well, Lord, I want to make it, but I don't want so much heat. Don't turn up the heat. Folks, I want to tell you, that heat's pretty hot. When you can take a rod and stick down in that groove, and these metals begin to heat up. They begin to heat up, and steel begins to puddle in there. If you know what I mean. It becomes molten like lava, and it begins to puddle in there, and it brings the two together. It doesn't take the integrity away from this piece, and it doesn't take the integrity away from that piece, but it binds them together where they're just as strong, and they say the weld, where the weld is stronger than the metal itself when it's done properly. Folks, God knows how to do that. I can't explain it all to you this morning, but folks, when He sticks that rod down there and He turns up the heat, and when He finishes with you, if you're willing to stay in the furnace and stay in the battle till you get the victory and get everything that God has for you, when He turns up that heat, I want to tell you, you'll be stronger than you ever was before, because you're going to be yoked together under heat. Under fire. You're going to be yoked together with God. Your integrity doesn't change. His integrity doesn't change. He keeps His soundness. You keep your soundness. But now we have someone that we can depend on. We don't go this alone, do we? We don't go with it. We don't have to go this alone. We're yoked up together with Christ, folks. And it's going to take Him for you and I to live a life of Christ here in this world. Integrity. Being honest with God. Do you know you can live a saintly life as long as your heart is taught of God? As long as your heart is taught of God. We've all heard this many times, but when Jesus came along and brought the gospel, folks, He didn't come to do away with the law, but He came and fulfilled the law. The law was the schoolmaster to bring us unto Him, and what He brought to you and I today, it isn't a set of rules and it isn't a set of laws, but He brought something to the heart of man, and He set up His kingdom within the heart of man. He set up His throne in the heart of man. You and I are the temple of the living God, and He made this a heart issue. And we need to have a heart taught by God. Do you know, some people get the idea, Well, you know, that's a good brother. That's a good minister. He says a lot of good things. You know what? If you have a tendency to believe what a man says all the time when he's teaching you things that are right, you'll have a tendency to believe things that he's teaching you that are not right. Think about that. You'll have a tendency to believe because of who it is. Whenever the Word of God goes forth, you ought to listen to what the brother or sister is saying. You ought to hear that. And you ought to take that and you ought to work with that. But folks, it needs to go deeper than the man or the woman that's saying it. It needs to go to God and have His Word abiding in our hearts. In our hearts. Not in our minds. What did the writer say in the 51st chapter of Psalms? Lord, Thou desirest truth where? In the inward parts. He desires truth in the heart. Think about that. The things that we do or that we not do should be done by the power of a living truth in the inward parts. Why we do what we do. Why we keep the integrity that we keep should be done from the power of a living truth in the inward parts. Psalms 51 and 6. You know, remember in the Bible where it tells about Peter and John going into the temple? And this man standing out there desiring alms and hoping that they would give him some money. Peter stopped. Peter stopped. Man that once denied the Lord. But on the day of Pentecost, folks, he got a heart change. He got it in his heart. He got the power of God in his heart. When that Holy Spirit came down in the form of a fire, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you. Cloven tongues, thank you. Cloven tongues, folks, it did something to Peter. It wasn't something that he got in his mind. It wasn't something that he thought. He could look back on his past. He could see his failures. He could see how weak he was. But when the cloven tongues came down and changed this man, it changed his heart. And when they were walking in that temple and the man was wanting some money from them, Peter said to them, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." Folks, do we have something to give people this morning? What he had was something that was rooted, settled, and grounded in his heart. And he knew it to be true. And he kept that integrity the rest of his life, as far as we know and understand. Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. Peter had something to give. He had a healing truth as power in his heart. Can we have power with God today? We must, saints. We must have power with God. We must have something to fight the enemy with. We must have something to lift Christ up in this world. We must have something within us. It isn't our power, but we need something within us. Christ in us, the Scripture says, the hope of glory. We need something within us. That when someone is reaching out and they're pleading, that there's a power in our heart. We have a connection with God. The rod's been down there. The heat's been turned up. I've been changed. Oh, Job. Oh, I once heard of him. There's a lot of people heard of him. You know who those people are? Those people are saying, when someone gets in trouble, I'm praying for you. And their lives are pitiful. Their lives are pitiful. Their prayers bless their hearts, and I'm not their judge. But according to the Scriptures, their prayers ain't going any higher than their head. Just coming out of their mouths is empty words, because a sinner cannot make an intercessory prayer for anyone. I said God won't hear the prayer of a sinner. I won't say that. But He cannot make an intercessory prayer for anyone, because God won't accept it. It's what God accepts, isn't it? What did Jesus tell that dear woman at the well? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him from the heart in spirit. Where do we get that spirit? It comes from above, doesn't it? We don't have anything to worship God with, folks. We don't have anything to offer Him. Our righteousness, remember, is filthy rags. We don't have anything to offer Him. But it's what He's put in our hearts. And because He's put His love there, because He's put His grace there, because He's given us mercy, and He's changed this old vessel. Take away that old stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. All done through the purging. When He turns up the heat. You want to make it? I'm not going to tell you how to pray. But you better thank the Lord for every trial comes your way. Because it isn't meant to destroy you. It's meant to cause you to grow and become strong in God's grace. Think of that rod just pushing it right down in there. Right down in old Larry. Oh, I want Him to do it more. I'm not afraid to say it. Folks, I want to go to heaven. But while I'm here, I want to glorify God. Lord, You push it down in there as far as You need to push it, because You're going to send the grace right behind it. You're going to send the grace that I need to deal with it. Whatever it is You permit to come my way. Lord, have mercy on us today. I don't know what you think of this, folks, but I believe it'll work. It is one thing, and I may say some more about this later. It's one thing to know the theory of salvation. It's one thing to know the theory. Well, this is what you're supposed to do. And we heard the theory this morning, and I know the brother's teaching it deeper than that. But we heard the theory of how to be saved. It's one thing to know the theory of salvation. It's another thing to know the Word of God as a mighty working force in our hearts. And that's what we need. Go beyond theory. Beyond just understanding, but having the Word of God to be a mighty working power in my heart. You want Him to work in your life? It's got to start in the heart. It's got to start. You got the theory good in your mind. Folks, if you just live with theory, you're not going to have power. You're not going to have the power. Your experience is just going to be cold and bland. You know, you're just going to hear about Him. But old Job one day went after the fire had been put in there, and after the Lord had worked on him, he said, "Now I see Him." That's what we want to do, to see Him. And you and I, bless our hearts, we have a greater responsibility than Job did, because He's given you and I more to help us. More aids to minister grace in our lives, in our hearts, than Job ever had in his day. But what did he have? He had integrity. He had integrity, saints. Lord, help us to have integrity with God. Lord, help us to be faithful to what the Lord would have us to do. The armies of Rome only overthrew Israel because her heart was corrupt. Israel never was defeated by her enemies when her heart was right. Never was. God wouldn't allow it. God won't allow the enemy to defeat you and I if our heart is right. But I'm telling you, a life of Christ is a life of suffering. And we just need Him to turn up the heat a little bit more. We don't want to get complacent with this thing, folks. We don't want to take this for granted. Oh, I know the truth. I was raised in the truth. I've known the truth all my life. I can say that too. But that ain't enough. Is the flame burning in the heart? While I was musing, the fire burned. My heart was hot within me, the writer said. It's got to be in the heart, folks. And as I said, the armies of Rome only overthrew Israel because her heart was corrupt. When a storm comes along, the rotten fruit will drop. If there's fruit hanging on a tree and it's not ripe and it's not solid and it's not ready yet, or if it's gone beyond ripeness and it's rotten, the storm will cause the rotten fruit to drop on it. You know, it's interesting. Heat. Let's see. Lord help me. Can't think of it right now. For some reason I thought of that and can't get the rest of it. Oh well, I'll move on. Religion. Pure religion. It is not an outward show. It's not what you can show me. It's not how good you can pray. And here, let me hear you pray. It's not how good you can testify, folks. It's not an outward show or an outward observance. But real integrity consists in the devotion of the heart. The devotion that I have with God Himself. You know, we need one another. We appreciate one another. We pray for one another. I hope and pray we do. I believe we do here. But folks, it's truth in the inward parts that God wants. Truth down in the heart. Lord, help us to stay away from being presumptuous about anything. Presuming. The old hypocrite stood there, smote his chest, said, I thank thee that I'm not like this man over here. Let's not be presumptuous about anything, folks. Because being presumptuous will cause us to be deceived. It'll cause us to be deceived. And thereby the enemy will be able to destroy us. What does it say, the scripture say about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah. Folks, unless that heart has had the flame turned up and the rod stuck in there, ministering the grace that you and I need, that we can have that tensile strength, that hanging strength, that tearing strength, whatever it is that God permits to come our way. You know, I was taught whenever I was in was a millwright, I was taught that a half-inch rod, that's not very big. But you put that up there in a piece of steel and hang it from the ceiling and it'll hold 2,000 pounds. Just pulling straight down. Now, you pull to the side, it'll break. But if you pull straight down on it, it'll hold 2,000 pounds. A half-inch bolt. But you bend it to the side. Sometimes we get bent to the side, folks. Sometimes things get awry. Sometimes we go through the struggling part of this experience with the Lord. And I want to tell you, He's got the strength for you and I to be faithful. You and I keep our integrity with God, keep our honesty with God, and be faithful to Him, folks. Trust in His righteousness. Don't ever be satisfied where you are. We should always want more. I want to leave you with this last verse of Scripture. Don't plan on dwelling on it or anything. But I want to give you Scripture. 11th chapter of Proverbs. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with a lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. We need something to guide us, don't we? We need the Lord to guide us, folks. But He's dependent on us to do our part. He's dependent on us to be faithful. I don't know if you got anything out of this morning or not, but I tell you, folks, it's important to keep your integrity. It must have been important to God because God mentioned integrity to the devil. He keeps His integrity. Even after you move me against Him, He's lost His children, He's lost all of His wealth, and He's still, I'm going to tell you, that brother right there will still keep his integrity with God. And he didn't. He proved God to be right, didn't he? He proved God to be true, folks. Are we going to prove God to be true in whatever it is that He has us to face, to deal with in life? Lord, help me, folks. This is deep, solid teaching this morning. But it goes for me as the same as it does anyone else. It goes for me too. And it isn't any easier for me being a human being and being as weak as I am. It isn't any easier for me than it is you. So where's my dependency? It's on Him. It's on Him. I want to keep my dependency on Him. I know God loves me. And He'll bring me through. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Thank you for your time and attention.